I'm reading chapter 25 of Isaiah. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness you have done marvellous things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin, the foreigner's stronghold a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore strong peoples will honour you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall, and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreigners, as heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud, so the song of the ruthless is stilled. On the mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the bed of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The hand of the Lord will rest on the mountain, but Moab will be trampled under him, as straw is trampled down in the manure. They will spread out their hands in it, as a swimmer spreads out his hands to swim. God will bring down their pride, despite the cleverness of their hands. He will bring down your high fortified walls and lay them low. He will bring them down to the ground, to the very dust.
Thanks, Lorraine. Josh, God is our refuge and strength. What a wonderful topic. The place is dotted with Davies today. We've got this bloke here, cake thief, and Les and Kath here with us today. They're doing a house sit in Ross Creek. Is that right? Yeah, Ross Creek. Yeah. Welcome. My sister-in-law is the best fruitcake chef in the world. Without question. There is not open for debate. And she brings up a beautiful cake like this every time she comes. I'm constantly inviting them to come. And she does bring another fellow with her as well, but she brings that beautiful cake. Well, I'll just tell you very briefly, when Robin was went into labour with this bloke 40 years ago, is it 40 years?
In October, yeah.
We sat down and we took the word of God, and God said to us, I'm giving you a son and I've called him from the womb to be my preacher. And we kept that in our hearts. We never said a word to him. We we kept that in our hearts. And one day we were together in a Bible conference and this fellow spoke, and I sat there and I thought, today's the day. Sure enough, he walked over and said, Dad, there's something I need to talk to you about. I said, yeah, I know. I know what it is. No, you don't. You can't possibly know what it is. And, of course, we sat down and I said, so God's called you to preach, huh? How can you possibly know that? I said, I've known that for 25 years. Why didn't you tell me? He says, and I'll tell you why we didn't tell him. Because this world is full of mama called, papa sent marshmallow preachers, and we don't need another one. What we need is a God-called, Holy Spirit-filled preacher who's prepared to say it like it is and preach the word of God and back away from nothing. And I wanted God to call him to preach. And then he knows he's got God's calling and not mine. And so we kept quiet, but we rejoiced together that day. And he said, what do I do now? I said, you wait for the elders of your church to receive that message from God. And that didn't take very long. There were some godly men in that church. And they approached Josh and they set him going. So I'm bringing to you today a man called by God to preach the word. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to feed me today. So let's have a word of prayer and turn him loose. Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you, praise you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, these beautiful songs, these songs of faith and these songs of affirmation of our own faith. And Lord, as we stand here, as we sing them to you, we sing them, Lord, with lyrics from our heart. And now, Lord, we are hungry people and we're a thirsty people and we need the word of God. And Father, we need to hear your message, and I pray for your servant today as he stands to preach your word. I know you've called him, Father, from the womb to preach your word to your people, and I pray today, Father, as the word of God goes forward, that your people will embrace it, will be encouraged by it, will be strengthened by it, and Father, that we'll see once again our refuge. A refuge, Yahweh. We love you, Father, and we thank you for what you will do for us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Go for it.
Cake thief, huh? I won't waste too much time of this precious time that we have to looking to God's word about having a laugh at the expense of the old man. We'll do that over a cup of tea afterwards. You can meet me at the back. I've got a few things up my sleeve. So, and I hope the introduction doesn't give you some great expectation of me as a speaker, but some great expectation of what God can speak to you about today. That's where all the power lies. And I was coming quite confidently and building that confidence and trust in the message and what I've been prepared. And I walked into the prayer meeting time and Elise said to me, oh, Psalm 91, the Bible reading. And I said, uh-oh, what have I missed? I haven't got Psalm 91. I haven't referenced Psalm 91. But there's over 15 or so references in the Psalms to God is our refuge. David uses that refuge and strength phrase quite a lot, and we're just going to touch a little bit into the Psalms. But you did have me worried for a moment there, Elise. As we said this morning, it is sort of crazy days, uncertain days, uncertain times. Uncertain days is a phrase I've heard a lot in this last week at work. All the customers want to talk about uncertain days, and if I got a dollar for every time I heard the word coronavirus, I'd be able to pay my house off probably by now. Small talk in the cafe is usually about sport and the weather. At the moment, it's about, do you have toilet paper and coronavirus. I've never ever talked about how much toilet paper I've got at home than I have in the last week. But these were, you know, just over 700 years before Christ, these were uncertain days for the people in Israel and Judah. Isaiah, it means God is salvation. It comes from the same word as my name, Joshua, Yehoshua, and they're derived from the same there. And God is my salvation. And for a guy whose name means salvation, there is a lot of words of judgment in the book of Isaiah. And when there is a reason to be saved, there needs to be something to be saved from. And these people were living ungodly lives. There was idol worship and self-indulgence and moral corruption. And people had turned their backs from God. And there will be judgment. And Isaiah outlines that to the people. The enemy is going to overrun them. God will not stand by idle without consequence for sin. And if you go to Isaiah chapter 5, it talks about there the prosperity will be stripped. The drunks who have everything at their disposal will have nothing, and they'll become slaves. They will die because they have nothing to eat or drink. And those who love evil and despise what is good will experience the anger of God. But God will not desert his people. And that is the promise. That is true of God today. He hasn't changed. You know, we get so easily distracted from the things of God. We can so easily on Monday, even Sunday after church, start drifting away from what God wants us to do. And we start to follow the sinful desires of our hearts, self-indulge in the luxuries of our culture and our time. And not always, but we can find ourselves, because of sin, find ourselves in some ugly, messy circumstances of life. But God's promise to us is true today, that there is forgiveness at the cross. Amen. You know, God, Jesus Christ, he died for our sins. His blood was shed for our sins. And he has a purpose and a plan for your life, and that is that your life, the way that you live and the way that you interact with people, would bring glory and honour to his name. Amen. And God's desire for his chosen people would be that they would bring glory and honour to his name in the way that they lived and interacted with the other nations. Be obedient and faithful. When Dad said that this is not an exegesis on Isaiah 25, I sort of wiped the brow, because I just spent a fair bit of time just looking at that chapter, and it's I thought this is going to take me a lot more than the usual sort of 6 to 7 hours of preparation to put a sermon together. You know, I need to take a week off work and close down and really get into it. But this title of this theme of refuge and strength, as we get through it, you'll see, and I feel it's been quite appropriate just for me in my life, for where I'm at. But in Isaiah 25, he starts there by proclaiming the praise to be given to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, when he will reign for what I believe to be a literal 1,000 years on earth, the millennial reign of Jesus. And it says there the strongest of people, the most powerful political parties, the harshest dictators, unbreakable cities who have ruled and governed and oppressed the poor, will fall to their knees and proclaim that Jesus is Lord and God. And that is prophesied in Isaiah 45. And the Apostle Paul repeats that in Philippians 2.
Yeah, right.
And there in verse 4, the prophecy of Jesus, Messiah, describes him as a refuge. If you look up refuge in the dictionary, it talks about shelter and safety. Shelter and safety. And verse 4 says, you have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, a shade from the heat. And we automatically draw this parallel of refuge to the hiding and being sheltered and hidden away. And the hunted sort of being protected from the hunter. When I was quite young, we were living in Adelaide, and I remember not a lot of the details around the story, but I remember the time that my older brother Dan was, wherever he was walking home, and there was a car that was sort of slowly going behind him, following him for where he was going. He was by himself. It was quite a scary at that time for him. And there was a little shortcut you could take to walk where no cars could go to get to our house, and a car would have to sort of drive around to get back into our street. And so he started to jog, and the car got a bit quicker, and then he took off this shortcut and made his way into the house, and he obviously felt so much safer, and as a house was like a refuge, a place of safety. And that car, I remember we sort of talking about how this car was driving around a bit slowly and suspicious, and it could have been something nasty at the time, we weren't sure, you know, but the house was this place of safety for him. And as I looked at this passage, I felt God telling me, you know, Scripture shows us that this can be the case, that God as our refuge and strength. He is someone who protects us from the storm and shelters us. But it is not necessarily all about circumstances being taken away, and that's the way that we are protected, and that's who God is as our refuge and strength. But about being empowered by the strength of God and finding him as our refuge and being empowered to face the circumstances of life through his strength. See, I can't tell you this morning that, you know, God is your refuge and strength, and claim him as your refuge and strength, and the sickness that you're suffering, you know, as you walk out today, that'll be gone. God is your refuge and strength this morning, guys, and the addiction that you're struggling with, you know, you won't have to deal with that anymore. God is your refuge and strength, and what you suffered as a small child, a teenager, a young adult, is all that pain and suffering and stress of all that trauma will just be gone. What I can tell you is good news from Psalm 46. Fear not. We've already talked about it this morning. Fear not the circumstances of this life, because God is your refuge and strength. Psalm 46 was most likely written, as I researched and looked around, most likely written around 700 BC. At the time of King Hezekiah. And you might know the story, the Assyrian army came up against Judah to overthrow Jerusalem in the southern kingdom, and Hezekiah was the king. And he knew about this army, and it was just seemed too much for him. He said, we can't just deal with these people. And he cries out to God. Seeks his Lord and his God as his refuge. And if you read that story in Isaiah 35, they didn't have to lift a sword. They didn't have to go into battle. The angel of the Lord struck down the Assyrian army, 180,000 of them. And they went and took the plunder. And this Psalm 46 has so much language about the millennial reign of the Messiah. But my focus this morning, is that it's just as much relevant for us today as it was for God's people at this time when they thought their life was on the line. They thought this is a circumstance of life that is too great for us. We're about to have our heads chopped off. We're going to die. Oh, and they cry out to the Lord, refuge and our strength. Yes. Ever-present help in trouble. We do not need to fear. Though the earth may give way, or the mountains fall into the sea, fear not. God is our refuge and strength. Difficult times, you're either in them or they're just around the corner. Where do you run to? Who do you cling to? What do you do to cope? Apart from a couple of little ones, I would say all of us have experienced that and can answer those questions probably reasonably quickly right now. So what does it look like in our life in 2020 in Haddon and in this society to take refuge in God and in his strength? A young guy, I say young because he's nearly my age, he had a really rough upbringing in a really dysfunctional family. His father doesn't really want anything to do with him as a teenager. And at the age of about 18, 19, his two brothers sort of disowned the family, and it was just him and his mum growing up in the northern suburbs of Melbourne. And he went to school, and then he worked with his mum, who worked two jobs, and he worked with her after school, and they paid the rent and they paid the bills together and they worked it out together. He was a man who grew into his 20s, who was bitter, who was had resentment against many people, resented God, wanted nothing to do with God, was angry if you spoke about God. That guy had a marriage and that fell apart. And then he met another girl, when I say girl, a woman, who was the daughter of an elder at Montmorency Community Church. And she herself was not a genuine Christian yet. But they found each other. Well, God put them together, I say. And after all this guy had battled through and had turned to cope with life, everything you can imagine. I don't need to rattle off the list. You know what it would be. Just last year, on the Queen's birthday weekend, on the Monday, the actual public holiday, they both gave their lives to the Lord. Amen. I had the privilege of baptising them both last year and spending time with them, hearing their testimonies, and they shared those testimonies. Really powerful, because God is powerful. So I was playing golf with this guy last week. This is the new age of pastoral care. Yeah, we were having a hit last week, and We got talking a bit more about and digging more deep into his upbringing and the sort of things that he would do to cope with life. And he, you know, he said something that was just simple. But for a guy who's grown up in a Christian home, and it just hit me, you know, between the eyes as I was thinking about this passages. And he said, you know, Josh, like, I've turned to so many things to cope. I've done so many things to try to deal with life. But I have a resource now that I have that is so powerful. It doesn't fix everything, but it's, he said, when I turn to God and I read the Bible and when I pray, he said, things are happening in my life that have never happened before. Amen. And he said, I can deal with circumstances without getting so angry. Yeah. And I can forgive people that I've never been able to forgive. Yeah. And God has worked in his life. And he is using the Bible and he is using time with the Lord, some real simple foundational things that we need to do as Christians.
Amen.
And he's found God really as his refuge and strength. We take refuge and strength and in so many things. It's so easy in this society to be swallowed up by materialism. We so often turn to things like food and TV and alcohol and sport and work even to deal with life when we can't talk things through or we're so frustrated or angry or we want to just relax or be chilled out or be left alone, and we turn to things. And I'm not saying that all these things are bad things. They're not this is not a legalistic message at all. But the issue lies is when we turn first to these things to cope with life. When we make these things in life a priority to cope with the circumstances that we're dealing with. When our dependency is upon the things of the world to cope with circumstances of life. This is sin. Dependency on anything other than God is the essence of sin. To be dependent on something is to place your trust in someone or something. And people place their trust in all sorts of other things than God. But with God, I want to say this morning, with God there is no reason to fear. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57 says, with God there is no reason to even fear for our lives. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Oh, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 5 years ago and exactly 1 month, it was 2015, February 15. I might have shared this story before because it is a powerful image and it's stuck with me for all these years. There are 21 Christians, I think 20 from Egypt and one from Ghana, led onto the Libyan beach by these ISIS soldiers, terrorists, and they murdered them on the beach. And as they were led down, in the video, you can see that these people are praying to Jesus. And the testimonies of the families that are related to them have shared how that the powerful message that they were faithful to God even unto death. That is the victory we have in Jesus, that death is defeated, that there is no power over us, because we don't live with an uncertain future. There are so many right now, as we've talked about, and as you see in the media, who have an uncertainty about the next few days and the next few weeks, and for some reason need 1,000 toilet rolls. But we have no reason to fear death, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And this life is temporary, but our future with our Saviour is eternity.
Amen.
Fear not. Even in death, fear not. God is our refuge and strength. And these circumstances of life are temporary. But God is bigger and God is stronger and He is greater than any circumstance. Any circumstance that you and I are facing or will have to face. And He's bigger and greater than the circumstance that those 21 Christians faced on the beach of Libya. His purposes are holy. As the passage says, His faithfulness is perfect. His ways are marvellous. And they have been planned since the beginning of time. So how will you trust in God this week? How will you trust in Him? How will you take refuge in Him and in His strength? Growing up, Mum's favourite verses, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, have been plastered over the walls and in every birthday card. So much so they've become a favourite of mine. And it says this, you know, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And He'll direct your paths. And I don't want to pull that verse apart this morning and teach through that verse, but I just want to say two things about leaning not on your own understanding and acknowledge Him. And this, the two things that Trent, this guy, he said to me the other day about spending time with God, reading His word and in prayer, reminded me about leaning not on your own understanding and acknowledge Him. And they're the things that are done when we spend time in prayer and when we read His word. And when you place dependence upon worldly things, that takes up your time. You have to invest yourself into those things. You have to buy a membership to the footy. If you want to watch the sport all weekend, if you want to drink alcohol until you can't remember what happened that day, you've got to invest money. You've got to invest time into those things. And if you want dependency upon God, if you want God to be your refuge and strength, you will need to invest yourself into that. You will need to invest your time. Oh, but the reward is worth it. Taking the time to spend with God. You can't trust God with your life if you're going to completely ignore Him all week. At the end of Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." I want to just leave you with one challenge this morning to finish, and that is to trust God with just one thing this morning. Not the car ride home. Oh, I just pray that we'll get home safely. No, no. I want you to think about the most difficult circumstance in your life right now. And that's not to ignore Romans 12, and we were talking about this last night. You know, our spiritual act of worship is to offer our whole selves. I know that. You know that. Maybe you've mastered that. Maybe you've got that down pat. This challenge isn't for you then, I guess. But I want you to think about the hardest circumstance in your life right now. Because this has happened to me this year. I was selling a business that has been a really difficult time. And for certain days, I've been so anxious. Certain days, I've lost sleep. Certain days, I've felt like a failure. And God said to me, just give me this one thing. Because the knock-on effect of trying to do things in your own strength is that you'll forget about God in all the other aspects of life. And God laid on my heart, Josh, just give me this one thing. Give me this one thing and leave it with me. Leave it with me to deal with and live the next few days knowing and the coming days knowing that I'm in control of this certain situation. And that was really hard because there'd been so much emotion around it. As you can see now, it still is. I don't know what the hardest circumstance in your life is right now, but I challenge you that you just take that one thing, the thing that's really hard for you, and just say to God, look, I'm going to start with this first step and just say, I'm going to trust this circumstance to you as my refuge and strength. I want to bring this to you and trust you in the circumstance that you will protect me, guide me, shelter me, and give me the strength to deal with what I'm facing with. And I don't know if that might even be death. But there's no sting or power for the believer. Only victory through Jesus. Thanks for listening.